Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 167, recorded on December 19th, 2012. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
It's going dang fine. And you, Michael?
Pretty well. We got a blizzard coming.
Oh, you're late.
I'm late?
Yeah, I already have a foot of snow outside.
Oh, well, that's because you live in the mountains.
Okay, well, there is that. But my point is, you're late.
Yeah, I'm still holding to my, I really hope that it doesn't snow at all this winter in my area, prediction slash dream that won't come true.
Yeah, well, I'm okay with lots of snow because there's a forest fire that's been burning for a couple months near me and they can't put it out. So
a couple months? Seriously?
That's crazy. they can't get in. It's too rugged. It's close by, but too rugged to get in and put the fire out. So they just kind of contained it, and they've been waiting for the snow.
Wow. Interesting.
So bring it on.
All right. Well, Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast.
Yeah. It's getting really cold here.
What is that? What is cold to you? Like 50 degrees?
Like 68.
Today it was 56. High of 59. The low is going to be 33. That's cold. That's almost freezing.
There was one year when I was out in San Francisco for Macworld, and I think it was the first year I was there, and we were just coming back from the restaurant, the big Backbeat dinner, and there was talk of snow happening, or maybe it was actually snowing. I can't really remember.
No, that wouldn't happen.
No. It was getting real cold, though. That's for sure. It gets cold out in California.
Not really.
Yeah.
So, Michael, it was 17 here today.
No.
And that doesn't happen in San Francisco. If it did, that would be crazy and cold. And I'd like to be there for it just to see.
Mm-hmm. And there's your weather update from all 3 points on the map. And with that, we should probably talk about the iOS stuff.
Oh, I thought the show was done. I was going to go have a drink.
Well, you can keep drinking, but we're going to talk about Google Maps for iOS. Woo! We have it finally. Yay. And it's quite nice.
Am I the only person that's not really excited about that?
No, I could almost care less.
Yeah.
It's nice. I mean, it's a nice app. I like it. It looks good. Brings back transit directions, which I'll use twice a year. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm quite excited about the transit directions. That's the big thing that I wanted out of Apple Maps.
You ride the bus a lot?
No, but I do go to Chicago, and when I go to Chicago, I do ride the bus or ride the train.
Yeah, I use it at Macworld for the BART.
Yeah.
But I would imagine BART has its own app. I've never really checked.
Yeah, it's actually a nice app, and it it shows you really good maps, and it has all the schedules. And you can tell it where you want to go, and it'll tell you when you need to be at the station. And
yeah. Nice, but I still prefer to have the integrated experience. So that is nice. And it does also include turn-by-turn voice-guided directions. And actually, my favorite thing of all with the turn-by-turn is the ability to mute the voice from within the app, because it's just so annoying that I can't do that from the app on Apple's Maps right now.
The Google
Siri is your friend.
No, she's not all the time.
Oh, she's always my friend.
If I'm listening to a podcast and I know how to get to the location I'm going, I just don't need to hear her. I'm sorry.
You can
Siri.
Turn the voice volume down, right? There's like settings.
You can
like
turn
low,
you can,
medium, high.
You can mute it completely, but you have to go out of the map and into settings, and you're ostensibly driving. And
yeah, that's good. That's safe.
No, it's not. You have to go into settings and put on your reading glasses.
I was going to say, though, I think the Google turn-by-turn voice sounds better than Siri.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. It sounds more natural, more human.
Yeah.
I'll have to go listen because I've been very pleased with Siri's voice.
Me too. I use it all the time. The one cool thing about the transit directions being in Google Maps is that now becomes a routing source for like other maps. And more specifically, you can now get Siri to launch Google Maps with a little trick.
Yeah, I saw that. So what's the trick?
Have you tried it? So you just add the words in transit or by transit to the end of the thing you're asking for. So you can say, you know, get me directions to the nearest Apple store by transit.
Or you could probably say, get me transit directions to, or
you could say it that you
via
just, the
transit.
Keyword is transit in there. And then what happens is it will pop up and it will display all of the apps on your phone that offer transit directions. And Google Maps would be one of those selections. So you just hit route on that, and then it will open up in Google Maps. And what's cool is if you had Google Maps set to the driving directions the last time you had it opened, it will actually open in the driving directions, not directly into the transit directions.
That's cool.
You got
one
think
extra
that-
tap, but you can now have Siri launch Google Maps rather than Apple Maps.
Yeah.
And it works with, I noticed Navigon also comes up as one of those choices, even though I have not purchased the Navigon, you know, transit direction thing. It just still recognizes Navigon as like a app that could have transit directions in it.
Same with TomTom. Cool. You can do the same thing with the TomTom app.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, you got to think that Apple at some point down the road would want to include its own transit directions and maybe either get rid of the here are some other app options menu or as transit directions or sort of bury it in some way. It seems like a temporary fix, doesn't it? The little Band-Aid on the
well, and that might have been a forestall choice,
right? Yeah, it just seems very unnatural. It seems very strange to have an option to leave the app and go to something else. Or here are a bunch of apps that can do all the things we can't do.
Yeah. I think that's part of the whole Maps fiasco thing that guy got let go for.
That, and I really wish it was more obvious how to get to the turn-by-turn instructions. Well, I haven't really had any issue getting to the correct destination.
Yeah, neither have I. I've had really good luck with that.
I think I've had the same sort of issues as I might have with TomTom, the TomTom app.
Yeah.
Where maybe two times out of the 100 times I've used it, it has taken me to the end of a block instead of to the actual address.
My biggest complaint on the Google Maps is how nefarious the data collection seems to be.
Oh, really?
Well,
I'm not aware of this.
Google.
Exactly. It's exactly what they wanted, and Apple didn't want to give them. So, you know, when the first time you launch it, it pops up, and it says, basically, we want the right to be able to collect all kinds of location information about you and use it. Is this okay? And totally summarizing in my own words.
Yeah.
But the gist of it is we're going to collect a whole bunch of data about you and the places that you go, and we are going to use it unless you uncheck this box. And I have a feeling that most people just click through it, don't read it,
of course,
don't uncheck
people
it.
People do not read things.
Well,
and it's checked by default, so it's an opt-out, not an opt-in. And if you decide later you want to undo it, here's the procedure to undo it. You launch Google Maps. You click the little person icon. Let's see if I can do this. I'm doing it in real time now.
Yep.
Up in the upper right-hand corner. Then you click the little settings icon. Then you go into About Terms and Privacy. And then you click on Terms and Privacy.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
And then click Location Data Collection. And there's the toggle switch.
Yep. Boy. I think they set a new record for that stuff. Apple had maybe like four, and this is
God,
like
no,
five.
That is holy.
I think I'm pretty sure I saw this and actually gave that option some thought
And I did too.
I couldn't remember before I checked this whether I turned it on or off.
But well, now you can. You know where to look.
Yeah, I did end up leaving it on, and I felt that it would be interesting to see what they do with that information, and I didn't really care too much.
Well, they do say they do say they're collecting it anonymously, but I seem to remember too. Do you have to log in with your Google account?
You do
to use it.
No, you don't.
Oh, you don't.
Okay. But they want you to so that you can keep track of where you've gone.
And then likely they'll use that for targeted ads, I would assume.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, another bonus of logging in is that if you set up favorite locations in Google Maps, they automatically show up.
They sync and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
And you get your history and all that fun stuff. But your history is also Google's history if you leave that little checkbox checked.
I really wish
that's unchecked and I have not logged in. That's nice. About as anonymous as I can get.
Yeah, keep that tinfoil hat on.
Well, you betcha.
The one thing I don't like about Google Maps is there's no integration with your contacts, and I think that's a very unfortunate oversight.
I think that's awesome.
Seriously? That's just them, though, right? I mean, they can access those APIs. It's something they chose not
absolutely.
To do, right?
And I think that cripples it considerably for me.
It makes me more comfortable with the app because I don't have a lot of trust for Google. So my assumption is that if I give them access to my address book, just as if I were to do the same for Facebook, that they're just going to have access to everything and use it as they please.
Okay, but why the mistrust for Google, though?
Well, because do no evil doesn't mean be good.
Oh, sure. I'm not saying that.
And they have a track record of doing stuff surreptitiously. And
this is Google's business model is to, they make all their money off of collecting your information and using it.
How are they using it? Are they going to use it because I searched for the newest Xbox 360 game and then I went and surfed around and I started seeing ads for Halo 4 or something?
Yes.
That doesn't bother me, though. It's clear that I'm interested in that. Why would I not be interested in those ads? I prefer targeted ads. I prefer stuff that's customized for me.
This is the stuff you do see. What I worry about is all the stuff that we don't see.
And that's what I'm interested in knowing what your speculation is for that stuff.
See, another problem with Google is that that there are times when you specifically opt out of something and Google just says, okay, and you're still opted in. An example is application updates. And I had opted out of all of Google's auto updates for their apps on my Mac. And it wasn't until I was playing around with Little Snitch that I realized that it didn't matter that I had said, don't do any auto updates, don't check for any auto updates. It was still in the background, constantly talking to the Google servers about updates and all kinds of stuff. And that was a point where I was like, okay, if I'm unchecking something explicitly to not participate and I am still being forced to participate, my trust is gone.
Yeah. And actually, personally, Michael, it doesn't bother me too much either. I let Google gather all kinds of information, and I actually prefer targeted ads and things like that. Sometimes they're dumb.
Yeah, sure.
The one specifically that really bothers me is I'll go purchase something on a website and then immediately start getting ads for the product that I just purchased all over all the sites that I go to.
Yeah.
Which just like, okay.
Not very well thought through.
You already made the sale. I'm not going back, you know, 2 hours later to go buy again.
Okay, see,
nice
now,
try.
Now I'm a little concerned. What is it about my browsing habits? Because to the best of my knowledge, I'm not doing anything that would trigger this. I've been getting a lot of ads from Google about dating services and meet older women and singles in your area.
It must know that you're lonely.
It must know that I'm lonely. Well, thanks, Google.
It must have seen that you're like buying a lot of chocolates and whiskey and ordering a lot of movies in. I don't know.
That makes sense.
But yeah, it is interesting.
But I just worry about the long term. I mean, they're getting so many hooks in so many places. And this doesn't just go for Google. This goes for Facebook. This goes for Twitter. My biggest pet peeve now with like every app and every website is the Facebook login being required for like everything, or not required, but like at least thrust in your face. Actually, some services require it. You know, most specifically, I think You Don't Know Jack just came out for iOS, and I was all excited. I downloaded it. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you got to log in with Facebook.
Delete.
And there's no option to not?
No, not for that. It's intimately tied into Facebook.
So what happens, and I know this is a kind of a dumb question, and I laugh at myself whenever I ask myself this question, but, and I'm asking myself questions, but what happens when Facebook doesn't work, or what happens when someone doesn't have a Facebook page?
To sign up.
What if they don't want Facebook?
You have to sign up. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
you're getting my point. It's really bothering me that everybody wants to integrate with Facebook, and now Facebook has all my information, or Google has all my information, and they're both tracking me, and it's getting the hooks and the tentacles are creeping in deeper and deeper and deeper. And so I never used to think about it too much in the past. I have to say, over the past year or so, I've been thinking about it a whole lot more, because it's sort of like, it seems innocent and everything until you realize, wait a minute, they know way too much about me, and they could use it for good or evil. And they say they're only going to use it for good, but
you know, and it kind of kills password security, because I like having a different password for every service.
True.
And if I have to log in with Facebook, as soon as someone manages to hack your Facebook password, now they can just go start trying to log into every other service and see what they can get into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Are you having... Hey, Adam, can you hear Jeff?
No, he was cutting out on me.
Okay. But yeah, it is...
That sucks.
It is incredibly stupid that is... That is a big security hole. It's kind of the same way that if you go to the bank and they ask you some questions, like what's the last four digits of your social security number? In my mind, that doesn't identify you in any way. That doesn't prove that you know the social security number. It just proves that you've gotten a hold of any other document that shows just the last four of your social security number. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a big oversight. I mean, there.
It's technically supposed to be what more secure, right? Because you can go in and revoke the key from a specific site so that
someone
gets access to that app or whatever. You know, like if someone steals your iPhone and they have all those apps that you've logged in with Twitter or Google, you can go to, or Facebook, excuse me, you can go to Facebook and start revoking keys. Right?
Now, how is that more secure than me having unique passwords for every site and they've only been able to hack
it? It's not. It's the guise of it. I mean, the point is they're saying, oh, it's convenient and it's safe. But those two things are mutually exclusive.
Yeah, it's convenient, and that's very true. That's a very good point. But it's convenient, and then at some point when they realized that this convenience compromises security, then they said, well, we should kind of do the best we can to add some pseudo-security to it, and that's what we have with that. Yeah. And so typically whenever I have something that I need to sign up for, I use my email address.
Yeah, if I can. But I guess what I'm alluding to is more and more I'm finding that isn't even being given as an option.
You know, I haven't run into that issue. I mean, I think I've run into it maybe once. I guess turntable.fm, that's the only one I can remember. And they allowed me to link it with my Twitter, which was preferred, I guess, but either way, it's not any better, but at least I like Twitter a little better than Facebook. So
the Facebook one is fun because it pops up and says, and when you log in, this app now has permission to post as you and to update your profile and to access all your friends' profiles. And, you know, it's like, it's really creepy.
Well, you can, I believe now,
You can adjust that stuff, yeah.
You can adjust it as you're going through.
But you have to do it after the fact.
No, I think that when it, in, during the pop-up, am I wrong that you can, it says this, this application wants to get access to your basic information, and then you say okay, and then it also says, and they also want to get in, access to post your wall and do all these other things.
Yeah, they're updating it. I'm not sure it works in every app. And it, specifically, I'm not sure that it works when you're accessing something that's doing it through like iOS or something like that. It's been a little while. Like I said, I typically, if Facebook's even an option, I avoid it if I can. So I don't click on it too frequently. So anyway. Yeah. I digress. We've moved way far away from the
We were talking about Google. The one thing, well, there are two other things I want to talk about with the with Google briefly. The fact that it's, according to most people, the UI is better than the Android counterpart. And they're also planning on coming out with an iPad version, which is great.
Yeah. You know what? It's a bummer that it's iPhone only. But
yeah.
Hey, you got to start somewhere.
Okay. So here's what bothers me. Okay, there's a lot of things that bothers me. Here's the one thing I'm going to key in on right now.
Sure.
All these features that are in Google Maps that they wouldn't bring to the version when it was Apple's Maps.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, and, it was a standoff. I mean, it's clearly it was a standoff between Apple saying, we're not going to give you a bunch of personal information about our users, and Google saying, well, you have to. And Google and Apple saying, well, we want, you know, turn by turn and this other stuff. And Google saying, well, you can't have that unless you give us the personal info. So they were at an impasse and they both went their own direction.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be it.
Well, people were clearly looking forward to getting the Google Maps on iOS.
Yeah.
It was, they say that they had it downloaded over 10 million times. Just craziness. And a very interesting point of data implies that there was 29% growth, 29% increase in unique iOS 6 users following the introduction of Google Maps on iOS.
Oh, I'm sure there were people that were holding out just for Google Maps.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I know a couple of them.
What's going to be really interesting, though, is since Apple Maps in most cases is going to be the default thing that opens up for most people when they're accessing maps from different places, you know, clicking on a link in an email or or a website or something like that. It's going to be very interesting to see if we get data that Google Maps is being even used with all these new people that upgraded to iOS 6. I have a feeling most of them are going to just fall back on Apple's default maps and realize, oh, this isn't actually so bad or as bad as I had heard.
Right. Yeah. I think it's something, it's more of a security blanket for those people who are waiting out for it. They're going to get on there. They're going to say, hey, you know, I can get Google Maps for iOS 6, but for the most part, Apple Maps works just fine.
It's iOS's version of boot camp.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Huh. All right, so iOS 6.0.2 was released on Tuesday, and I guess it fixes a bug with Wi-Fi. And was that on what device were there Wi-Fi issues?
I think the iPhone 5, if I'm not mistaken, right?
iPhone 5, and I've been having Wi-Fi problems on my third gen iPad.
Okay. Hmm. I don't believe
it. Is it just for 5 gigahertz, or did they specify the band? I get some of my updates mixed up. I know they came out with some specific 5 gigahertz updates for the new iMacs and MacBook Airs or MacBook Pro.
Yeah, I think the 5 gigahertz thing was just for Macs.
Okay.
And either way, I know that I have horrible connection problems on my iPad and on my iPhone. Better on my iPhone. So please, Apple, make it show up for my iPad.
I thought it was an iPhone 5 only issue, and that may be why it's not showing up on your iPad, but could be mistaken.
Well, then please, Apple, release a separate 602 update that fixes the Wi-Fi on my iPad.
For Jeff.
Love, Jeff.
Yep. Did you see that Eddie Q is reportedly talking to Foursquare in order to get some of that delicious point of interest data for their Maps app? Which is interesting because I've been considering lately, should I continue using Foursquare?
You know, I use Foursquare every day. Explain to me why I should.
I don't. I can't.
It's completely irrational that I'm using this app in this service.
Yeah. Adam, are you still using Foursquare?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I have a... I actually am getting a benefit from it now because
you always go to Chili's and get the free chips and salsa.
Well, no, they have integration with small businesses, and they support the small business thing on my Amex card. So I have my American Express card tied in, and when I go to a local small business that has the integration, I usually get like cash back, extra cash back if I pay with my.
Oh, that's cool.
Amex card, and that gets tracked through the Foursquare check-in, basically. I think somehow it's all tied together.
Yeah, I have noticed that.
So there, I like that.
There are some benefits. I think that Foursquare is a great idea, but they still need to improve stickiness. I guess they have some interesting data that would be worthwhile to Apple. I imagine it doesn't have a lot to do with the plethora of people's houses they set up as check-ins. I wonder how they're going to filter through that. But it is nice to see that Apple is indeed working with other companies, and it's nice to see that Eddie Q is being named in as one of the people who are actively attempting to reach out to Foursquare for this.
Yeah. Seems like a I don't know if it's the best data source. I think they could probably come up with a better one. But
oh, certainly. I think somewhere. So, too. But
or, they could end up getting themselves in the same problem that they are already having, though, because I think a lot of the, especially the location stuff, is being, people are saying some of the issues are the fact that Apple is trying to aggregate so many various sources, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of conflicts, and they didn't have enough sort of human beings vetting that stuff. Sure. And so when you have kind of computers deciding, you know, hey, is this some dude's house or is this legitimate data?
Right.
You know, errors get made.
Right.
And when you're dealing with that volume of data from that volume of sources, it's a daunting task. So hopefully they don't kind of fall into the same old traps that they are already in.
Yeah. Very interesting. Have you heard about Google's new scan and match service for music? They've had, what were they calling it before? You could scan your music library. We could upload your entire music library, right? In the same way that you could with Amazon Cloud Player. But you'd actually have to upload all the files in order to access them. Now with this, I guess it's part of just Google Play. You download an app, and I gave it a little try. You don't have to have an Android phone. You can just download the application. It'll scan your iTunes library, determine what it has in its server, and then upload whatever music that it doesn't have. And interestingly enough, there is a web player that you can bring up on your iPhone. And it's free.
Huh.
So you can actually do all this with your iPhone. You do have to have, it only plays through a browser, and I haven't really gone through extensively to test it, but it does work. At least somewhat limitedly. Is that a word?
No.
No. Okay, well, I'll back down from that one. But it does work to some extent. So I would recommend going out and trying.
It's another thing that I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's free.
I tried the Google Music thing. As a matter of fact, I think it's still even in my system preferences, but I don't use it. And I just re-upped my iTunes Match, which I absolutely love. So no reason for anything else. But I, you know, I have all my music in iTunes, and I purchase my music through iTunes, and it just kind of works, integrates with all my stuff. So I guess I'm totally submerged in Apple's ecosystem.
Yeah. Well,
did you see that story this week? I don't know if it's on our list, about the Samsung executive that it's the same thing.
That's an iOS user. Yeah.
He's an iOS and a Mac user at home.
Yeah.
He uses Android devices at work.
Yeah. And that he's
like a senior VP, I think. And it's not in our show notes, so I forget which executive it was. But he said it was totally because of exactly that. It's, you know, he's tied into the Apple ecosystem and everything just works. And so it makes it very hard. It's very sticky and makes it very hard to switch out, which is exactly what Apple wants and what a lot of people, you know, complain that Apple does. But to me, it's a benefit. I don't see it as a detriment, because it just makes everything so easy. I bought iTunes Match and it really pretty much worked as expected from day one because of that tight integration. So
there you go.
It's the Samsung's new strategy chief.
Yeah.
And his strategy is use Apple's ecosystem.
Yeah.
I think they want to copy it at some point is probably what they want to do. But I mean, you're not going to be able to, Android's just not set up that way. I mean, you can't do that with Android necessarily, unless Google's going to pull a Microsoft and change its tune.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so
start doing all their own hardware and software and not letting anybody tweak Android.
Right, exactly.
And that will not go over well for them when they decide to make that change.
Oh, no, not at all. So did you guys see that Peter Misick, Jefferies analyst, he put out a research note last week saying that he thinks that, according to supply chain information, the next iPhone, he says it's going to be called the iPhone 5S. Who knows?
Apparently he does.
Well, he thinks he does. Next year, he's guessing mid 2013 with NFC, bigger storage. Those may or may not come to fruition. But the thing I'm interested in is, we've been talking about NFC on the iPhone for some time now. Do we want NFC on the iPhone?
No, we don't. I don't know.
Why
it
would we?
Might be more of an international thing. And I have to defer to our international audience, because I know that in certain regions, in certain countries, especially, I think, like Japan, if I'm not mistaken, NFC is kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
They pay for everything with their phone. I still maintain that what Apple really wants to do is pull more like a Square or a Google Wallet play, and open up the stuff that they've done with their Easy Pay in their retail stores to other companies, to other services and stuff like that.
Again,
going back to, they already have my credit card and my stuff in the iTunes ecosystem. I'd be perfectly happy to pull up an Apple app and pay at a retailer and let it come out of the same account that my iTunes purchases come out of. And just be all done through that one system with my iPhone. And to me, that's just as easy and convenient as the whole NFC thing.
Sure.
But maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe there's something I'm missing about NFC. But I mean, we've had NFC. I think I've talked about this in the past. We have it in our credit cards. You know, I've got a little tap to pay thing on my credit card. But every time I go to a retailer and ask to use it, they're like, oh, don't use that. Doesn't work. We don't like it.
Yeah, because it's the wrong kind of NFC. There's no standard in this country.
Ah, okay.
And until we can get a standard, what point is there in putting NFC on an iPhone? Apple's not going to put NFC on an iPhone until everyone standardizes, because if you wave your iPhone over NFC reader and it's the wrong kind, it doesn't work. You don't think, man, I wish there was a standard. You think, as the average consumer, stupid Apple, they can't even make NFC work.
Yeah.
No, they say stupid iPhone, I hate this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They hate Apple, they hate the iPhone, and it's because NFC isn't compatible across the board.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I know that the Square Wallet thing seems to be getting some attrition, at least in geek circles. I don't know if it's going beyond that.
Oh, I mean, I saw Square at a local pack and ship place. They're saving boatloads of money on it.
They have it at Starbucks now. Oh, I haven't tried it there because I just have my Starbucks card and the passbook.
Yeah.
I love it. That I love. And I want more of that. So it'd be awesome if that could pop up and just go right to like the scanner thing and comes out of my iTunes account at different retailers. That's really, if Apple's smart, that's the way that they're going to go. And I kind of figured that the stuff they were doing in store at the Apple retail stores was kind of a test market for that. We had heard some rumors like last year that that's what maybe they were going to do, but it never really went anywhere.
Right.
Like the Gap was supposed to get it next or something like that.
Well, I thought the Gap was doing a test program in a couple stores.
Are they?
I thought that was last year or earlier.
Yeah, last year. And that's what I mean. It sounded like it started up and it never really went anywhere. But I mean, Apple really should. They should buy Square and just integrate all that into the iPhone. They got enough money to buy Square, right?
Oh, yeah. They could totally do that.
I don't know. I'm curious to try the Square. I have the Square Wallet thing. I haven't used it anywhere yet.
I'm not even clear on how Square Wallet works.
Supposedly, you can just go in and I think you can just like use your email address to pay or something. It's like really supposedly super easy.
Yeah. Well, see, there's a couple services like that. There's the Square Card and what's the other one? It's the one that I've actually played with. Level Up.
Yeah, Level Up.
And it gives you a unique barcode or some kind of code. I can't remember what kind. And so when you go into a business that is supporting that, they have a little camera scanner and you just hold up your iPhone and it scans the QR code or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And whatever credit card you have linked to that account, then it just charges it back to that. Which is cool. The problem with Level Up is that they're using Android phones, and quite literally Android phones. And so if the phone crashes or if they forgot to plug it in and charge it, the whole Level Up system dies.
Yeah. See, with the whole Square system, I think it's even simpler than that. There's like a little swipe to pay slide to unlock or slide to pay little button. So it uses GPS, and as long as you're at that retailer and you do the slide to pay thing, it somehow does the communication to pay. I haven't tried it yet. There's a new local brewery that opened up though that I discovered actually through the Square Wallet app. I didn't even know this brewery existed, but it's close to me. So I'm figuring I'll have to make a trip and grab a beer and try it.
So it's some kind of, you tell them to put it on my tab kind of thing, and then you pay, you hit the button on your phone?
Yeah, you just swipe and it uses your Square account to pay the retailer.
I don't know how
the retailer submits it.
What are you swiping? I don't get it.
There's like a little, you know the little slide to unlock? There's like a little slide to pay thing in the app.
On your app?
Yeah, you download the Square Wallet app and you tie it into your Square account. And then when you're at a retailer that supports the pay by Square thing, I think you can like literally you open it up. It recognizes through GPS that you're at that retailer. Again, I don't know at what point, like how it sends them how much to pay or whatever. I think what you do is you give them your email address and it's tied in somehow through that. And so they report it to Square. You slide to pay the thing and they pull it out of your Square account. I haven't tested it.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm speaking out of my butt because I don't
That's
know.
That's fine. We do that a lot anyway.
But there's no money that changes hand. There's no NFC going on. It's some other kind of card magic
you have to take out. So it's supposedly easier than taking out a card and having them swipe it.
Correct.
Okay, cool. Let's see. Did you guys see that the next update to the Apple TV will include the ability to use a Bluetooth keyboard on your Apple TV? Did you guys see that?
Meh.
Meh?
Yes. Yeah, I saw that rumor.
Yeah, meh.
I don't think it's a rumor. I think it's true.
Cool. It's cool, but I just don't see myself doing it. I mean, until there's apps on my TV, maybe, that really need to use it. But I mean, I have the remote app, which pulls up on my iPad and gives me a keyboard, and that's usually what I use, and that works fine.
Yeah. But do you not find it interesting that Apple could potentially open this up even further with more peripherals? I guess it would be interesting to see that how they would do that, because if you're just selling the little hockey puck, and then suddenly they say, hey, you can download games, or you can download pages to your Apple TV and edit stuff. You just have to go out and you have to get a keyboard, or you have to have an iPhone or an iPod Touch. I guess that's that's one of the big barriers to entry. If they add some more functionality to the Apple TV that requires another device.
Yes.
But at the same time, it does run iOS, and that's why we continuously talk about Apple TV on this program, because it is an iOS device. And it's interesting. I think that the Apple TV 2, the original Apple TV 2, has had Bluetooth in there, but it just never did anything. It's kind of cool to see that they still remember that, and they're planning on doing more with it. And it does feel like more and more that I want to do more with that extra screen that I have with my TV, that I have that Apple TV plugged into it. I'd like to be able to do more. I'd like to be able to send stuff to it from my iPad and not just a mirrored image of what I have going on. I would like the performance of that and the experience of that to be a little bit better. And the idea of, okay, so if Apple were to come out with an Apple TV, and we should mention that Tim Cook was on, Rock Center? Is that the program?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So he did an interview talking about, at some point he mentioned that the TV is a point of great interest to Apple, which I would say is interesting that he would say anything at all about it, because there are a lot of things that Apple is interested in, and I'm sure they're playing around with lots of things. But the idea of having, could it just be a TV? Cause I feel that you would want to have the option to just buy a hockey puck, buy an Apple TV and plug it into your existing screen, kind of in the same way that, you can get an iMac, or you can get a Mac Mini, because if you want to get a Mac Mini, you already have a screen and a keyboard and all that stuff. But if you want to get an iMac, you just want the whole thing kind of deal. So if Apple were to get into the TV space more aggressively than they currently are, do you think that they would offer more than one device? Would it be just the television set, or would you be able to buy it separately and plug it into your existing device?
I would imagine it would be both things, but it's really a moot point at this juncture, because nothing's going to happen probably even this year with respect to specifically them doing a TV. I can see updates to the Apple TV, and that may be pushing forward a little bit, but I highly doubt, based on everything I've been reading and hearing, that Apple is going to do an HD TV this year, like some people are speculating. Maybe at the end of the year, but even then, I just don't see it happening, because I think the big problem is not the hardware or the software. I think Apple's got tons of that stuff figured out.
I think,
you know, that's what Jobs was alluding to when he said we've cracked that. They've cracked that half of it. What they can't get any attrition with is the darn content creators and distributors and networks and stuff like that. That's just like going nowhere. So that's their big challenge and their big problem. And I keep saying this, but I think ultimately they're just going to give up and again have to do their own thing and kind of create a new way. I think they've already done that to a certain degree.
Well, what's the difference between what they're doing now with iTunes and what we would want to see from an Apple TV? Would it be cheaper price, more all-you-can-eat style kind of model?
I think for sure. I mean, that's what people are used to, and I think that's what people want, unless they can be shown another way. But we were just having this conversation recently because I was like, I think we had missed TiVoing something, right? And I was like, oh man, if I want to see that now, I'm going to have to buy it on iTunes. And I was kind of complaining about it, and I had been talking to my wife because we have an older TiVo and we don't have the dual channel and we can't record a bunch of stuff, and so we often miss recording things. And I had just been pricing out, you know, hey, maybe we should get a new TiVo for the holidays. And during that conversation, she points out, well, you realize, you know, it's going to be $200 for the new TiVo, and then you pay $13 a month. She's like, when you add that all up, you could buy at $1.99 way more episodes than you ever missed. So we're actually coming out ahead by not, you know, buying a new TiVo or getting cable, by actually purchasing stuff. And I think people don't realize, you don't kind of think that way. You get stuck in this rut of, hey, I just have 300, 400, 600,000 channels or whatever that I never watch. I watch, you know, 4 shows a week. And wow, I could really be actually just buying those or getting them on season pass and probably end up spending less money. But no, Apple's expensive, you know. And I was in the same mentality, you know, oh God, I got to pay. That's $1.99 for one show. That's ridiculous.
You know, you're totally using my logic. I don't have cable TV anymore, and I'm not using my TiVo anymore. If I need shows that aren't available through my Netflix subscription, it's still cheaper for me to rent or buy them through iTunes.
Yeah.
Or you could get Redbox. Those Redbox movies are pretty good for $1.
I love Redbox for movies. Yeah. They're going to be doing a streaming thing, but it's some convoluted thing with Verizon, right?
Yeah, and that's actually something that I threw it in the list of stuff to talk about, that they just today launched the private beta of their Redbox Instant service.
But do you have to be on Verizon, a Verizon internet connection to get it?
You know, I don't know.
I thought you did. Yeah, I think it's linked just to Verizon.
They say it's Redbox Instant by Verizon. What that means, I don't know.
I just want Google Fiber. Can I have that?
Yeah, that would be great.
I'm seriously considering moving to Kansas City.
Now,
just for
that's
that.
My hometown. Actually Independence, but Kansas City. And the barbecue is awesome.
Kansas or Missouri?
Missouri.
Is that where they launched it? Is it in Missouri or?
Yeah, it's in Missouri. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's an awesome city and incredible barbecue. And I totally started a barbecue war
and
here.
Now Kansas 100, City is 100, my favorite barbecue. Yeah. 100 gigabit per second internet.
An insane internet. Yeah. The problem is in the summer, the humidity is just killer. I mean, it is oppressive.
But does that affect the internet?
It affects my attitude, which ultimately could affect the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hate the humidity. But if you can tolerate the humidity, well, then there you go.
So I'm looking at the Redbox Instant. It's $8 a month. And as far as what they are planning to provide in terms of content, if it's going to be on par with what Netflix offers or if it's going to be closer to what they have available in the actual Redbox kiosks in terms of sooner availability, I'm not sure about. Have you guys heard?
No, like how it will come. I'm guessing it's going to be the same stupid delayed stuff. But the thing is I guess they give you DVD credits.
They do. They give you 4 DVD rentals per month for $8. That's included with the streaming service, I should say. So it's $8 per month plus the 4 credits. So whenever you want, you go out to a Redbox, hop in the car real quick, which honestly can be more convenient than Netflix, depending on the content, because with Netflix, you have to wait a couple days depending on whether you have a movie already or not, and you have to wait for the mail. With this, you just go down to the grocery store and pick up your movie.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything on the site that's indicating that you have to have a Verizon internet connection. That was my worry when they said it was by Verizon. I was going to be like, oh, it's going to be if you don't have Fios or you don't have a Verizon, you know, phone, that you can't get the service. But I'm not seeing anything that indicates that. So
I think it might just be sort of sponsored by Verizon.
I don't know what their stake in it is. I guess maybe they're just getting, are they funding it? Are they, maybe they're doing the backbone stuff. Maybe that's the key.
Could be.
They're footing the bill for the big pipe traffic, and then who knows? Verizon data centers.
Yeah. All right. So with that, unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about, it's time for our picks. Jeff, do you want to go first?
Sure, I can go first. All right, so this week I have what I think is a fracking awesome pick. And it's a game, and it's called Space Team. It's free, and it's a group game. So everyone needs to have it on their iPhone.
Okay.
I'm assuming that it'll also work on a Touch or an iPad. But the deal is everyone has to link up on the same network, or you can do it over Bluetooth, and then you become a team that...
You're breaking up, Jeff.
Oh, why am I breaking up? Technology hates me today.
Okay, so you're on a team.
Okay, so you're on a team, and everyone has an assignment on the team, and you're flying a spaceship. And the commands that you need to issue to everyone else appear on your screen. And then everyone has different controls. So when you bark a command out, the person that has whatever that control is has to tap it on their screen. And so you're all barking commands at each other at the same time. And you're trying to avoid getting blown up by asteroids and stuff like that. And it is just incredibly, wonderfully, awesomely fun.
Ah. Do you like pushing buttons and shouting at your friends? If you answered yes, then you might have what it takes to be a space team. According
and
to their description.
It is awesome.
Cool. And it's free.
And it's free. So everyone go download it. And at the next party you're at, you and all your friends have to play Space Team together. It is fracking awesome. And I'm expecting at Macworld iWorld, there will be groups of us that will be in parties and other venues where we'll be in little clusters shouting commands at each other.
I can only imagine. That'll be fun.
Very cool. Go download it right now.
All right. Adam, what is your pick this week?
Well, I'm sticking with my... favorite theme of picking a game that also exists as a physical game. And it's one I've been wanting to buy. It's a card game called Flux. Have you ever heard of Flux?
I have not.
And so I love board games. No one can tell yet, and card games and what have you. And so I'd been meaning to buy this one as a physical game for a while, but they just released this past week, I think, a version for iOS. And the gist of it is it's a card game that the rules and the objectives, the goal of the game, are constantly changing depending upon the cards that you get. And so they have an offline play version where you can do kind of a pass and play thing. And they also have an online version that you can play. And you draw a hand of cards. You think you start with three cards, and there's different types. There are goals, which are the objectives you need to do to win the game. And usually that involves collecting these things called keeper cards, which are just different kinds of objects. And you usually try and get like two kinds of objects, like a toaster and a rainbow or whatever. It can be random stuff. And then there is a rules area, and the game starts out where you each turn you draw one card, and you then also need to play one card, and then that ends the game. But you can pick up cards that allow you to then change the rules, add to the rules. So you might say, oh, you've got to draw five cards every turn, and then you might play a rule that, oh, well, you can only have three cards in your hand at the end of the turn, so then you end up having to discard. You can force other people to discard. And then there's also just action cards that allow you to do sort of instant things in the game. So you can, you know, steal cards from other players and stuff like that with those. And so then you might have a goal set up, and then suddenly the next round somebody changes the goal or somebody changes the rule. And so it's just never the same game twice, and it's just kind of, it's fun. It's a really cool little game, and I would imagine it's just as fun as a physical game as it is on iOS. But I picked it up there first, and I'm for sure now going to be actually buying the real card game. So Flux, and it just came out. I think it might be on sale currently for release. FLUXX, it's $2.99. And it is it's iPad and iPhone, so that's always good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. We just did that thing. Okay. So my pick this week is, it just came out right before we started recording, actually. If you don't know already, I'm a huge Tumblr user, and the Tumblr app was updated to include native iPad support. So now, instead of just going to the web app, you can download the Tumblr app for your iPad and enjoy that, a native app for Tumblr, and just scroll and scroll and scroll and waste the day away on Tumblr.
Wait, this is for reading Tumblr or for updating your Tumblr?
Reading and posting to Tumblr.
Okay. So they've had an app for a while. This is just, this update brings native iPad support.
Yeah, before you could just do it on your iPhone.
Or the whole 2X thing, which is terrible.
Yeah, that's awful. Yeah, this is quite nice. Let you manage your accounts.
I'm going to have to update.
Yeah, I'm going to waste some time on this. Ooh, yeah. And so when you have, it has a lot of really nice features that you don't get on the in the web app, because it, you can't do things like, well, when there are photo sets that are being blogged, you can actually tap on them and it'll bring up the photos full screen, and you can swipe through them, which is very nice.
Well, and then you can go there and you can go to my sketchedonpaper.com
yep.
Tumblr site. See all mm-hmm. the stuff I drew on paper. That paper the app. If that wasn't clear.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah, I don't think I've done one since Thanksgiving, so I need to get paper out and do another drawing.
Yeah.
So there, Tumblr for iPad. It's a universal app, so it actually didn't even show up when I searched for it on my iPad. I guess they hadn't updated their search yet. So just when you search for Tumblr, if you can't find it, it's the blue icon one. Switch over to iPhone apps and you'll be able to find it there, but you'll download the actual iPad.
Yeah, it's
app.
Universal, right?
Yep, it is. So yeah, there you go. With that, you can check out all of our iPhone picks and the stuff we talk about at wehavecommunicators.com. You can, of course, leave comments there, and you have a threaded discussion on every episode, so you can post stuff and I typically check that stuff out right away, so you can leave a comment and I'll respond if need be. Of course, you can send feedback to feedback@wehavecommunicators.com. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com, and Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter. And if you want to find the We Have Communicators mug or any of his doodles on assorted things, zazzle.com/Jay Gamet.
Speaking of which,
yeah,
I have horrible, horrible news.
What happened?
Oh, no.
Did you?
My mug fell on the tile the other day and broke. I need to order a new one.
Oh, that's so sad.
You should get the beer stein this time.
No. I'm a big coffee drinker, so I need the coffee mug.
Okay.
I need to order up a new one, though.
Yeah.
It was very sad.
I can imagine. I really like my mug. I think they turned out really well.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. And it's not just because it has our faces on it, but that helps a lot.
It does help a lot.
They make great Christmas gifts.
They do.
Yep. Order quickly, though.
Mm-hmm. In time,
yeah,
for
I think Zazzle's doing specials right now, so yeah. Order away.
Cool. Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, MacCast.com. He's at MacCast on Twitter, and the member.MacCast.com show is the member show.
Yeah, member.MacCast.com.
Yep. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter, and you can find me on Tumblr if you are into off-color Tumblr blogs.
Off-color, huh?
Sure. Blue, maybe?
No, cool. Blue's an awesome color.
True. It's one of my favorite colors. Comedy-wise and other ways. Otherwise. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So with that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet communicator.
This stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?